now. Ah! I've done screwed it up!
What have you screwed up?
We've gone live with no intro. Sorry. We'll start again.
I can't believe you've done.
I'm going back to the load screen. Shut your face. I swear I'm not drunk.
This is the most chaotic end to a season. I don't know, a year? Yeah,
the
I don't
series.
Know. Series? A seritos, one might say.
Fuck. Space.
Sparse.
Shall we just end the stream and start again? Anyway.
That's it. That's all you're getting, everyone.
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Adequate. Our ongoing mission, until we are cancelled and replaced by something far superior, which seems more likely at the end of this episode. To review...
Who actually don't mess up the beginning of their streams. Where the technical aspects aren't held together with gaffer tape and hope.
To review every episode and movie of Star Trek in existence. To seek out new guests and make them very uncomfortable. To boldly go where many other YouTube-based Star Trek shows have gone before and done far better than what we are doing at the moment. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Treks and Trekkers. Welcome to the final Trekking Up North of 2024 and... Oh boy, is it going well? We are late streaming live. I have had all the technical collapses you could imagine. And when I get it all fixed, I ballsed up the intro. So this is quite literally trekking up north.
It's going well. It's going well.
I am your host before I am fired, Captain Goodwill, with a sliced finger from all the repairs I've been doing.
Was that from wrapping presents?
No, it was from my utility knife. trying to fix everything. Joining me as ever is the delectable, delicious, handsome, hairy, angry, slightly horny Geesian from the planet Honk! It's Science Officer Cyanoids.
Right, love. Do you want peas with that, or are you happy with curry?
I just want a drink.
just time to get the bleach out.
In celebration of our final episode, I have got the blood orange martini, a staple of trekking up north.
The blood vine. Hey, we've got Beth in the chat. We've got
Hey Honk. Beth.
Hey Beth. We are doing well, except we are like, to be fair though, I was like, we're gonna have such a break, and it feels weird that it's the last episode of like the year kind of thing. And then you realise we're literally missing 1 week, and that's it. And you're like, okay, that's not really a massive break, really.
We're not back till February. It's fine.
That's it. Just skip fine. January. It's a rat.
Skip January. No one cares. There's only a Star Trek movie coming out. No one cares. Don't care. But it's only Michelle Yeoh. It's fine. but yeah, so this is our final episode of Trekking Up North for 2024. And Jesus, what a ride it has been. This year it has been chaotic AF, I would say.
We've done like two things, and I'm exhausted. I think two, maybe three. maybe how many episodes have we had, like five?
Easily four.
easily four.
Easily four.
At a push
at six. a push We've had a few impromptu breaks. How many guests? Three. We've had it. We were kind of low on the guests this year. I will find the Instagram models with the big boobs next year. Don't worry about that. But
yeah, we need those big titty coffee girls. Are you into Star Trek? Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Yes, it's the one with the Wookiees. But it has been, in all seriousness, it has been a hell of a year for Trekking Up North. We did two conventions. One of them on the stage, which was Destination DST, Destination Trek.
Just called Destination, because they're not called Destination Trek anymore.
Destination in Blackpool. That was an absolute honour. So many, many thanks to Jamie Gallagher for allowing us to be on stage for that one. And then we did STLV in Las Vegas. We travelled 5,000 miles to be with our own kind.
We travelled 4 in-flight meals. That's how I measure distance. I had yours, I had the woman next to me's, and I had her son's.
Well, that's
the distance we travelled.
I'm going to actually tally up, right, how far I travelled in that day to do STLV, because, sweet Jesus, it was a minute.
12 miles at least.
August... was it August?
We were on a plane for about 27 hours or something nuts, wasn't it?
That's like 27 geese. Okay, here we go. So in total, this is just for me, because Sonoy's went a different way in America.
I ended up with the Mormons in Salt Lake City.
So in the space of 24 hours, I drove 115 miles and then got three flights and travelled 7,270 miles. Going from where I live to Manchester to Orlando, which... And then Orlando to Philadelphia, Philadelphia to Las Vegas, whilst my suitcase went from Orlando to Phoenix. My suitcase arrived closer to the destination than I did. And Sonoy's, you didn't go to Philadelphia. You went to... Where did you... Because you were going to go to Salt Lake City.
No. I went Manchester to Orlando, and I was meant to be going to Atlanta, but they didn't. They booked me at too early, so I couldn't actually make the flight.
They gave us 10 minutes to clear US customs.
Yeah, they were like,
customs.
Hey, get across the airport and get through customs.
Literally
the first
across
time in
the airport.
Like,
yeah.
10 minutes. So then it got changed to Salt Lake City, but then the Salt Lake City one got delayed by like 2 hours.
Oh.
But then it was still possible to make the connection to Las Vegas. But when we got there, I had to sprint because there was 2 minutes to get across the airport. Luckily, the connecting flight to Vegas was delayed. But yeah, so thank you, Virgin Media, for that. And thank you, Virgin Media! Virgin Atlantic. Yeah.
No. Thanks,
people.
Virgin Media as well.
Well, actually, I'm pissed off at Virgin Media because it's just this idea of going... Because I had, you know, I was paying like £60 a month for my broadband, and I phoned up on Black Friday and was like, hey, I'm going to move away because, I found a better deal. My mate can get me it for like £22 because he's got like staff discount and stuff. And they were like, oh, okay, we'll change your bill to £22. And I'm just like... What, like that? Like, why didn't you do that normally? Oh, because you're literally greedy pieces of shit. Right, okay, got it. And it's just, and it depresses me. It genuinely depresses me that you just have companies being like, ah, well, if they don't complain, we can just keep stealing money off them. That's like kind of going, hey, we can just, as long as no one notices, we can just keep going through their, like, jacket and taking stuff out, right? You know, it's like, it's thievery, basically.
It is daylight robbery. So yes, screw Virgin Media, screw Virgin Holidays, screw Virgin Atlantic.
And then Virgin Atlantic, where they gave us like compensation, but it wasn't even the maximum compensation. We're like, we got pissed around for like 27 hours, like around all of this stuff. And most of that was them messing up in terms of going, hey, yeah, we've given you 2 minutes to get across an entire airport and get checked in. that seems fine. You know, oh, you missed the flight. Oh, well, we don't really have another flight. Sorry, I'm still bitter about it. But the fact that they just gave us below the maximum payout, and I was just like, no, give me the whole thing, you know?
The connecting flight from Philly to Las Vegas. I landed in Philly and there was a delay getting to the gate because a what can only be
A
described
goose.
as a crotch goblin decided to have a massive shit as the plane was taxiing in the lavatory. And because he was in the lavatory, they couldn't taxi because you are not allowed to go to the toilet as the plane is taxiing, as they keep saying when they are taxiing. So we had to sit on the runway as he shit on the runway, meaning that I was delayed getting to the terminal. I had 8 minutes to get from one side of Philadelphia's airport to the other. I asked a lovely assistant at my gate, how am I going to do that? Looking at the golf buggy that was there, hinting, and her advice was run, which is what I did. I didn't know, I mean, I've never been to Philadelphia, I didn't know the airport. I ran. I had every security guard watching me because I am a ginger dude running through an airport. They thought I spoke Irish, so I was just like, I'm only half Irish, it's fine.
You were leaking potatoes as you ran.
I was
They were
leaking
like sort of falling
potatoes.
out of your baggage and stuff.
I was leaking potatoes and complaining about the British. So I was running through the airport and I made the connection with 30 seconds to spare. I was the last person on board the flight just as they were closing the gate.
Well, the
And
thing, in terms of what you're saying, where you're saying like sort of, hey, they were like, oh, what's your advice? Run, rather than actually offering any help. What
yeah.
was it that got said to me where I was like, hey, that's impossible. How the hell am I going to get to Vegas? And she's like, don't worry, I believe in you. And I was
She
just
really
like,
did.
she told me she believed in me. And I'm like, you believe in my ability to totally change the way you fucking do
Was that
things.
Orlando?
Yeah.
See, the power of Disney is within everyone.
I was just genuinely shocked. I just like, but could you actually help? That would be even better if, you know, rather than having misguided faith in me, you could actually assist me in my problem caused by
They are
you.
so brainwashed by the
Know?
mouse, they believe that magic can help you, and it really doesn't. But anyway,
Yes.
STLV was a wonderful experience. We met a load of friends, made new friends, met loads of stars. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. But the biggest experience, of course, is sitting down with my good friend, Science Officer Sunwaz,
Oh, it's
and
me.
talking shit for every other week when we had time to do so, to review an episode. And then Paramount kindly, huge thank you to Shosif from the Clone Star podcast for getting in the trenches and negotiating with Paramount to get the screeners for both Clone Star and Trekking Up North and digging it out to give us those advanced screenings. And we were so appreciative that we delayed most of the episodes by at least 2 weeks after the episode had aired, rendering the screener itself null and
Was
void.
so useless. I was literally in Newcastle earlier today shopping. And bumped into one of my Trekkie mates, and he was just like, you know, and he was just like, oh, have you seen the final episode of Lower Decks yet? And I'm like, no, I'm gonna watch it when I get home. But we got screeners like 3 weeks ago for it, and you're like going, yeah, we kind of just didn't use them.
It's
And
so
no,
funny
we
because
totally
they.
need them, but in this situation, because everything else has been so crazy, we've literally I've been I've the last three episodes I have watched after they've been out on Prime, and I'm like,
It's so funny when I read the description that we get from Paramount, where it's just like, the embargo is until this date. Please do not discuss or post any content related to this episode. And I'm just like,
But that would suggest competence.
That would suggest planning. But no, in all seriousness, we have both been really ill. We have both been extremely busy. It has just been a really, really hectic time. So when we finish the review of this episode of Lower Decks, the series finale of Lower Decks, Trekking Up North is going on a hiatus for a couple of months. Well, February, shall we say. But we are going to redo a few things. There are some new segments coming in. We've got new plans. There's going to be a new layout, new intros. It's going to look a little bit more professional.
Could I have cat ears? Can we use one of those like Insta filters to give me like dog ears?
I don't even have to do that. Razer headsets come with built-in cat ears. You can actually buy them from
Oh my God, I could be like one of those furries. Is it furries or is it pops? I don't know. You know, the cat boys.
Pops, did you just say?
What?
Can you be a dead-eyed pop?
A dead-eyed pop? Oh, God.
Yeah. Can you just sit with two chocolate buttons in your eyes and just wobble your head every so often?
I'm not worth what you paid.
There's landfill full of me. But Paul's there digging right now. But
Paul's in the chat. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
How was your oodle? Oodie.
He's got a wonderful Oodie. He's got a lovely discount code with them, which is very special for Nerdy Up North. But they look really comfy, Oodies, to be fair.
I prefer Snuggies because I am counterculturing everything Nerdy Up North is doing at the moment.
He's just countering
it. Inadvertently doing it, because like, he put a post about the Nerdy Up North community. He was like, do you love The Office? And I'm just like, no. It was just like, oh, but and there was a what did he post the other day? He was like thanking the mods and admins for all their help this year, and I'm just like, I did nothing, and I'm neither like, a mod nor an admin.
we've been terrible this year. We've been
I seek no glory, only results. But bless him, he thinks I'm a dickhead, and it's true. But
it's been good though. Like it's been a good year for Nerdy Up North as well. Like we've had a lot of new shows, we've had a lot of cool stuff, we've seen like Lee and Chris coming into their own, and they are hilarious. They are so good together. I think
Top Grumps is so funny, and we were discussing, because we're on about sponsors now that Paul has become a corporate sellout. So we were on about Trekking Up North is sponsored by Raid Shadow Legends, by anything. But they offered me $12,000, and I'm like, no, you didn't. But yeah, we were talking about sponsorship, and obviously Top Grumps, we've got Uncle Trev's piss jugs. And I was just thinking, and I thought, do you know what? In Euro Truck and American Truck Simulator, you can create a custom trailer via a mod. There is going to be a piss jugs trailer that I'm just going to be hauling across the map. Just
is that when you finally get off Lee's dick?
Never. I'm on it right now. hang on. Margaret Thatcher. There we go. He's deflated.
There we go. So that's my way of getting it down. To be fair, that's the.
Hang on, Paul in no hoodie. Oh God. Anyway, as I was saying, Lee.
The people listening to this on Spotify, you're missing out. You're missing out on these delicious visuals.
You've seen my mammaries.
Your mamaries.
My mamaries. Ooh, mamaries. But no, it has been a tremendous year for Nerdy Up North as a whole, and long may it continue. More BBC guest spots, to the point where an investigation is probably going to get launched into us for some sort of sordid thing, either misogyny or porn. We will find out in 2025.
Fingers crossed, both.
As long as fingers are not in anything, we will be golden.
I have my fingers in a lot of pies. But it is... I think it's interesting, though. Like, it's like, what is it? What's in your sticker? Focus. No, it won't focus.
Focus. Hang on.
You're going to have to say...
It just says, ouch.
Oh, I'll put upside down. Okay.
Does it say upside down? Oh, no! There we go.
There we go. Right, okay. But yes, hello to everyone in the chat. I can't believe that's Lower Decks over with, to be fair. It's like a final episode of Lower Decks. It's finally like over, and it's kind of felt weird. Like, it's kind of felt like the Sword of Damocles has been over it for the whole season of us being like, oh yeah, it's gonna end at some point.
I would. It's a very sad day, because Lower Decks is one of my favorite Star Trek series. Because we have pored over Lower Decks for the two seasons that we have reviewed, and we have touted it for its ability to build the Star Trek universe in such a way that it just makes no fanfare of it. It's just, these people exist in this universe. We will encounter them. But it's such a loving tribute to all things Star Trek, no matter what. And, you know, let's not forget that this series had one of the greatest crossovers of all time with Strange New Worlds. And I am... When I heard it wasn't going to get picked up, I was shocked. Because, yet again, Paramount has made a rather silly decision, I would say.
No, that sounds out of character.
But I don't want to say it's the end. I want to say it's the end with an asterisk or a question mark.
Hey, I'm saying that I called it.
Yeah.
The way that this episode leaves it is very much a kind of, oh, but there could be a different show with the same characters, but with a different preamble.
It's very open-ended, the way it ends. We'll get into it, because this is the second part of the season finale. It's called The New Next Generation. And this is an episode, out of all the season, this is the episode where I can feel they knew, you know, they were told it was ending. So they've had to sort of resolve the issue whilst also closing some things up, but also leaving it open-ended for any possible return to the resource. And I think they did it rather well. I think it was perfectly done. Well, like I said, this is the second part of the season finale, where we see that from last week's episode, where they where William Boimler directed the Soliton wave rift into one universe instead of destroying all the universes. He targets the Prime Universe, as we'll call it, and sends a message to his actual self, Brad Boimler. Boimler gets it, and it's like, holy shit, we're all going to die, because he freaks out.
I like that it's like that comes in later, because obviously that was how we had it, where we were like going, oh my God, that he's going to like freak out when he gets the message. And then it kind of does it as the colder open. But then it has it where it basically has all of this other stuff happening. It shows like a day in their lives and whatnot. And they're just sitting there chatting about stuff and whatever. And then he gets the message, and then he like freaks out, and he's just like, oh, cool. So it's kind of nice that we contextualize it of like, yeah, this is when the actual message hit, you know.
Yeah, because we get a nice cold open with a Klingon patrol. After we get the previously in the, you know, like the summary of the last episode, we get a Klingon patrol, and we see it's Relga, who was the sister of the two brothers that his name escapes me.
I can't remember this. Like, is it from the Mok. Is it from the
Yeah, so you know when Mok and Malua, they were on Kronos and they were regaining, you know, that they fought. So it's that. So Relga is the sister of the two brothers that he killed. So
I do like it though, that I think the first thing we see is her dog, and it's like it's like a Targ equivalent of a Chihuahua.
It's a Chihuahua.
It's like a Paris Hilton Targ. It's so horrible.
It's what a Chihuahua wishes it was.
It's basically if a Chihuahua looked like it is. If a Chihuahua looked like its personality. Oh, you can see it in the picture. You can see it in the one of our sliders where it's sliding on a lap and it's bloody awful. It's
bloody awful. But so we see them doing a patrol. The rift opens up, and it emits a wave, and emits a Soliton wave. And what I loved about this is the first time we've seen this in Lower Decks, where one of the rifts hits the ship and it transforms the Klingons on that ship into New Trek Klingons.
Not New Trek, Discovery Klingons.
Discovery Klingons,
Trek for a bit, and now it's...
Yeah. But it transforms, them into new Discovery Klingons, and then the Bird of Prey into the Moff Bird of Prey from Discovery. And the in-universe explanation is it's very much like the Romulans, because there are two types of Romulans. There's one with the ridges on the forehead, and then there are ones without the ridges. And it's very much like... these are from this hemisphere, these are from that. Very much like how humans look different on certain parts of the world. Shall we say?
What's the actual reason for it? Was it a rights issue?
No,
wasn't someone saying with Discovery that they didn't, like with Lord of the Rings and like Rings of Power, wasn't it like they didn't have the rights to show anything like races in Discovery?
It was purely a redesign choice for the Klingons so the original concept art for Discovery for the Klingons was very, very H.R. Giger. So we see like the ship of the dead, the sarcophagi, and the Klingons, and in the concept art it was very H.R. Giger. So they were very gothic, very pointy, everything had to be sharp and very gothic looking. But the in-universe explanation is basically that different parts of Kronos have different variations of Klingon beings. So, you know, if these Klingons are from the southern hemisphere, they look like this. If they're from the northern hemisphere, because the climate is different, they look like that. Very much where, you know, you look at Norwegians and Scandinavians and stuff like that, and they're very pale, ginger, blonde. And then you look at Europeans.
To be fair, though, we don't tend to change skeletal structure that much. Well, you know, as in, like, compared to that.
But the in-universe explanation is sort of like, dude, we know they fucked up. Let us just put this in. Because
and somehow having a proper explanation for it is worse than like the whole we do not speak about it to outsiders explanation that we get in.
It's kind of bad. And then you think also like at this point in Discovery, there were smooth ridged Klingons because of the eugenics virus that was introduced and stuff like that. And I kind of don't explore that either. But anyway, back to quality Star Trek. They turn into them, and then
the interesting thing is that the Klingons basically say that they get a set, the sensors are showing tachyon readings and stuff, and they immediately go, "Ha, tachyons are meaningless to us." Is that a reference to cloaking device? Is that because they usually use tachyons to kind of get through cloaking devices? Or is it just them just going, hey, tachyons don't mean anything?
I think it's just basically science. We are far better than science. Like, it's merely a tachyon. It's a thing. It is no match for me. It's just like, you know, it is what it is. But Relga thinks that she has an opportunity to use this, because obviously before this rift appears, she wants to try and provoke Starfleet, because she is just a lonely captain of a small fleet patrolling a random backwater area of Klingon space. She wants to make a name for herself, and she wants to use this rift as an opportunity to make a name for herself. We see that she's obviously wanting vengeance against M'Lar and Mok for the death of her brothers, so she goes after them in their wine barge. I love Mok. I think Mok is just, he's the Hawaiian Klingon.
It's yet again Lower Decks doing what it does best and being like, hey, here's a brand new character, and you immediately love them. You immediately want more of them. And it's like, it's the anti-Discovery in terms of going, hey, let's have loads of characters and actually make you want to know more about, well, like they both do that, but basically going, hey, give you enough, but then leave you still wanting more.
Let's underuse Rainn Wilson, but So I still don't like The Office. But we see that the Relger in the fleet appears. We'll do the Klingon thing first because it bleeds into the Cerritos. Mm. So the Klingon fleet warps into the vicinity of Mokoma Law. She wants to seek vengeance. They fire upon the ship. And Malor is sort of like, today is a good day to die. Let's just ram them. And then Mok is just like, today is not a good day to die, brother! And just warps away.
I love that he escapes. I love that, like, they're in this little cargo ship and then they manage to actually do this crazy maneuvering. And you're like, where's this come from? This is a bit, like, weird. But it is amazing, though, that he managed to, like, outmaneuver a Klingon fleet effectively.
So they warp to the Cerritos and seek asylum. The Cerritos is embroiled in trying to save the universe. So Boimler has received this message from his alternate self on the pad, which is, you know, the crimson pad that he got from the alternate reality. He has received this message. He has gone straight to Captain Freeman, expecting Freeman. Mariner and Boimler go, expecting Freeman to just go, no, you're talking shit. This is bollocks, blah, blah, blah. In a surprise turn, Freeman is like, I believe you. I trust you. And it's a great sign of how the Lower Deckers have grown and matured over this last two seasons. And
that's
how...
it. It's they've gone from being lower deckers at the beginning of Lower Decks to basically being fully qualified bridge crew. They've kind of gone through all of the ranks and they're effectively trusted by everyone to actually do their jobs. And there's just something... there's something lovely about that in terms of this being a wrap-up of the show.
Yeah.
That, like, Freeman's like, yeah, I trust you. Because, as I've said in many other episodes of this, what I love about Star Trek is that people just believe the people.
Well, we saw that in Pike, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's that idea. Like, if you're an engineer and you go, hey, this is how we need to do this, then the captain just goes, yep, okay, that sounds about right. You know, and if it's like Janeway, where they're an engineering sort of person, like, then they're like, oh, well, what about this? And it's like, oh, cool. But, like, real life is never like that. You can be the most qualified person in the entire room, and you're like, hey, I need to do this thing. And you'll still get one guy who's never left his office in 20 years being like, oh, well, I don't really know about that. You know, and you're just like... And the part of the fantasy, part of the joy of living in Trek... is the hope that one day you'll be like, hey, I've been doing this for fucking ages and I know what I'm talking about. Can I just go and do this thing? And that's exactly what we get here. And it's that trust that they've earned on the Cerritos with Captain Freeman.
Yeah, and I love to see that the crew rallies around because they report it to Starfleet and Starfleet basically say that the rift... can be easily sealed with a gluonic beam, and I'm like,
gluonic beam.
However, it is surrounded by a Schrodinger's field of Schrodinger's possibility field. Yeah, a Schrodinger's possibility field where basically different quantum realities bleed into ours via these soliton waves, and it could affect the ship, the crew. Anything. So we see like little images where like one Starfleet officer turns into a cactus. Now it's at this point where the crew of the Cerritos is just going, where's, you know, like, do we have to do it? And they go, well, and the senior staff go, well, yes, because the Enterprise is too far out. We wouldn't want a Kali class dealing with this, but you are the closest one until the Enterprise arrives. Now,
that
I
old
heard
trope.
This.
That old
I heard
trope.
This, and I was like, "Are we going to see Captain Worf of the Enterprise?" I was hoping for a Captain Worf, but we see that the Cerritos is the only ship closer to them, and that even the Cerritos crew are just like, "Come on, like, what can we do?
Why does it need to be us?" And they basically say, oh, well, because the other Boimler, like the Boimler clone, is the one who sent this through, then the Boimlers are connected, and therefore you're the perfectly qualified to
quantum entangled,
yes,
shall we say.
Yes, there we go.
Yeah, they are quantum entangled. Really, have I talked about this on Trekking, about quantum entanglement, or did I bore you with it off air?
What was I talking about? This is so weird. I was literally having a discussion with someone about quantum entanglement the other day, but I don't think it was you. It was just serendipitous that, yeah.
And then
But
I bored you with it, didn't I?
I think it's this idea, because it's the idea of communication systems. If you could just communicate across the entire galaxy through quantum entanglement effectively by getting these two things that are connected and separating them, it would be crazy. Like, you'd be long range communicators would just be
Very,
a thing.
very, very basically, quantum entanglement is a theory in physics that basically says that two atoms, two molecules, basically two things are linked at a quantum level, and no matter how far away they are, no matter how the distance in the universe, in another universe, they will forever be linked together. And the theory is that I'm trying to see if I've got an example.
If you affect one of them in one way,
So
then the other one will be affected.
if you look at these two pieces of paper here, hi David, if you look at these two pieces of paper here, right, and this is a very basic theory of quantum entanglement, these two are linked together. So whatever happens to this one happens to this one, no matter the distance. So basically, you see this in Mass Effect, where they have a quantum entanglement communication array
Ah, okay.
that basically instantaneous communication, no matter where you are in the galaxy. There is no delay or anything like that because these two points are quantum entangled.
Yeah.
So what they are proposing in Lower Decks in this episode is that both Boimlers are quantum entangled and there is some sort of bond between them, so the Cerritos is directly involved and they have to be there because both Boimlers are quantum entangled. So
However, I think it's bullshit, and I think they're just trying to get the Cerritos to do the job.
plot device is
It's
basically what was used here.
like
But yeah,
that's why it needs to be the main characters of this show fixing the
so
problem.
what they have to do, they have to retrofit the shields because obviously these soliton waves, once they hit them, it could change the ship and the
Yeah.
people, and they might not be able to carry out this and the whole
So
universe.
they managed to get the they managed to change the shield harmonics, so basically the ship won't be affected by these universe waves that can turn them into like
Well,
random
they
stuff.
struggle, yeah.
However, when they're implementing their harmonic waves, they realize that it doesn't actually work with the hull of the Cerritos, and that it basically means that the ship is going to be able to change, just not the people on it,
Yeah,
which
the
is
ship is
a
too
massive
old.
flaw.
The ship is too old for the upgrades, and this is where Rutherford's sort of plot point in this episode, because Rutherford is struggling with the Cerritos, with doing upgrades to the Cerritos, and he feels that he's no longer compatible with the ship. So he is very, all the way through the episode, he is very, how can I do this with outdated relays? How can we do this? How can we upgrade this ship? We will not be able to do this. So we find that the people will not change when a soliton wave hits, but the Cerritos itself will be changed due to that. And
Which now, hold on, no, we'll get into that. We'll get into that in
yeah,
a bit,
so
sorry.
at this point we see Mok and M'Law turn up requesting diplomatic asylum on the Cerritos because obviously they're being chased by Relga. This is
I
in
love though that like Mok, I think it is. Is it Mok? Yeah, the
the
Hawaiian
big
one.
dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically refers to Beckett Mariner as his Skadeech.
Chadich is
And
Chadich.
what does that mean? That
Best friend, basically.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like, what's the one that means lover? Because obviously you have Worf refers to Jadzia as his Chadeech, as in his fiance kind of thing. Like, where he
No, I
means it
think
in
it's
that
best
context,
friend.
and I was
Yeah.
just like, and I was like, I don't know if that is it, like,
I
because I'm
don't think
sure
it
he means it in a
is.
lover's way, and
Let
that's why I got a bit of thrown for this.
us go for the last time to Memory Alpha.
I nearly bought a friend of mine the Klingon dictionary today, and I was like, he's never gonna read this.
Okay, so Chadich is a title in the Klingon legal system. A warrior challenging a ruling of the Klingon High Council was not allowed personal combat. He therefore chooses a Chadich to fight for him. The person selected as a Chadich would speak the words, oh my God, I accept, may your enemies run with fear. So this is,
Oh, I'm getting it confused. No, it's not. It's from TNG. It's when Picard gets chosen as Worf's fighter, like his representative, isn't it?
Jean's Guh Kre Jean Me Ho.
Well, I just came.
So
Fill me with gack, Goodwill.
Tachba Tachbe.
I
What does that mean? Let me know in the comments and the chat below.
love it. Beth's going to be like, yeah, I know Klingon. Well, Nova does. No, Nova can speak fluent
I wear a wolf fleece. No, it's not that bad. But
Klingon. But yeah, no,
so
sorry, I totally derailed us there because my knowledge of Klingon is terrible, apparently.
Oh, Klingons, it's a wonderful culture.
Take a drink. But
So they have two penises. But we ooh, microphone's just in. There we
I
go.
do love though that we get a quote of basically the people being the hull is kind of important. You know,
Yeah.
it's like, oh fine, it'll be fine. It's just the hull, and it's like it's kind of important, you
So
know.
they seek diplomatic asylum because they are on a run from Relga. They explain to Freeman that they killed Relga's brothers, but it was in a legal way. So Freeman grants asylum. Relga and the fleet turn up. They want the prisoners. Mock and Malort return to them, and as they are talking to Relga, an incoming transmission from Admiral Freeman appears, basically saying, "You are harboring two prisoners of the Klingon Empire. You must return them immediately. That is an order." And Freeman's just like, "That's a little bit fast." And even Ransom's like, "Yeah, that's a little bit weird."
I mean, spoilers for later, it is actually a fake message sent by Relga, like posing as like the Admiral, but this is a main thing about Klingons in Trek because they're obsessed with honor, and yet aside from the Romulans, they're probably the most dishonorable race that there is. They're probably the race that fights the dirtiest. They're the ones who have literally no code of honor when it comes to stuff, where they are like, hey, we'll like hijack your ship and drop bombs everywhere, such as like the Drumhead. We will happily steal information. We will happily deceive you. We will. And then in this one, what we get is we get Relga saying, hey, you dishonored me in this, like, in this particular way. And then they're like, no, we didn't. And it's like, yes, but when you're dead, I can just say whatever I want. And he's just like, oh, right, so you're just willing to lie in order to give yourself a good claim. And it's,
It's
yeah.
almost like they are like a certain group of British people that go on about people coming over here taking their jobs when they have got one GCSE and three teeth between four of them, and they decide to take back their country by smashing up Greggs.
Oh God. Oh, what a world we live in right
Anyway,
now. Thankfully the ice caps are going to end it soon, so
thankfully they don't swim. So Hayden, Caden, and Beybladen will drown. So
Oh,
we
the poor little babes.
no,
Little
all the Nike,
Keanu.
all you see is Nike Air Maxes just floating in this. Anyway,
I do like loads of stuff like that though, where basically when they're fighting the Klingons, they just do a shield shunt. Like, and
I
it's probably
love
the
that,
first time
yeah.
we've seen this in Trek, when you just go, yeah, if your shields are at maximum, can't you just ram people? And like, you know, the ship's not gonna touch them, but you know, you could just and they do, they just ram a Klingon ship and just destroy it, you know?
It was such a good move as well, because this is the one thing I love about Lower Decks. They take these like theories and they look at this and go, we can just do that. Or like where Boimler's piloting the ship and obviously they've got reaction thrusters, so he's just like, yeah, we could just barrel roll the Cerritos to knock a ship out. And it's just like, yeah, because you are in space, you can you don't have to. It's very much like how the Wrath of Khan, like when it's the battle in the Mutara Nebula and Spock goes, Khan is thinking in two-dimensional terms, whereas in space it is very much like dogfighting out in the air. It's three dimensions. You've got an X, Y, Z axis. So yeah, you would utilize every single axis to do unhinged things and use those shield bubbles, because these are bubbles around the ship. They are not like formed to the hull. So they could just easily knock them and cause them to collide or explode or anything like that without minimal damage to the Cerritos itself. So it was a great little like outside of the box thinking there. And then they run to the Soliton Rift. So they warp to the Soliton Rift.
I love that they say, brace yourselves for weird. Yeah, all hands brace for weird.
All hands brace for weird. I literally got that written down there. All hands brace for weird. They get to the rift and they get hit by the first Soliton wave and they turn into a Freedom class USS
now,
Cerritos.
This is what I was going to mention earlier.
Okay. Now, you asked that question.
This didn't mean much to me, okay? This didn't... he's gone. This
I'm
didn't
so
mean
glad
much.
You asked.
This didn't mean much to me, but the ship porn in this episode, I was just sitting here being like, is our episode late because Goodwill needed to recover after...
I'm so glad you asked, because the first ship is referenced as a Freedom class. This is a reference to Wolf 359 from the Kitbash fleet, because Freedom class.
Only one
nacelle. And even try, and this is what I loved, right? Because obviously Lower Decks is very fond of like explaining the unexplainable in Star Trek. Yeah. And they're just like, how could you even go to warp with one nacelle? And Tendi's just like, well, it's actually quite a thing. If you can create a stable, and then it's the first time where they just go, we don't care.
But we are prepared to explain this, but we shouldn't need to. Like, Freedom, we're gonna Doctor Who it and just be like, this reasons.
USS Firebrand, Wolf 359, sadly lost. So they turn into a Freedom class and everything's starting to get freaky. Everyone's staying the same, but the ship is changing all around them and it's not designed for this stress. And basically, they're still trying to make it to the center of the rift to fire this gluonic beam whilst trying to like improve the structural integrity of the ship so they can get there in one piece. And then the Klingons are chasing after them. And what we are seeing with the Klingons is, because before they get to the rift, Freeman tries to negotiate with Relga and goes, you know, as a gesture of peace, that this thing is quite serious. We need to tackle it. Here's the upgrades to your shield so nothing happens to you. She gives it to Relga, but Relga has no interest in it, so doesn't distribute it to the rest of the fleet.
No, I love it though. She's like, hey, here's how you can change your shield so they won't go weird. And she literally just grabs the pad and then just goes like, what is it? What does she yell? She goes, I have no use for this, and just chucks it away. And I'm like, That embodies Klingons. I mean, just go, really you does. Would be an actual threat to the galaxy if you were just clever, if you were wise, you
if
know?
If you were just clever. Ironically,
they use it. Well, not ironically, but they use it anyway.
Like, they the use whole it anyway, but only actually... one ship uses it.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Because the other ship that's chasing them gets turned into an old Klingon sailing ship. And this is, again, this season, like, it's been fairly dark this season with certain things. And what we see here is, like, the Bird of Prey turn into a Klingon sailing ship. And then you just see the bodies drift away from the boat in space. And it's just like, that's dark, man. That is, like... That is fucked up.
But it's pointing out the fact of like how much danger they're in, because obviously the Cerritos is like, hey, the crew aren't going to change, but what if the ship turns into something that isn't actually space worthy? And that's exactly what we see with the Klingon ship. So it's quite good using this to kind of go, oh, let's just point out the threat here.
But we find that what we've also omitted as well is that when Relga asks for the two prisoners, they can find Mok, but they can't find M'Lor.
Yeah.
So they go on the hunt for M'Lor as all this is going on around them. And we see Tendi and Talin arguing about how they should redirect power to boost structural integrity. So there's a little bit of a disagreement.
And this is because they both got promoted to joint chief science officer.
Yeah.
And it's pointing out that in this crisis, they're not actually able to work together because they've got conflicting views about how to do a particular thing. And Talin very sensibly points out the fact of, hey, if we can't agree on this, then why don't we work on different things? And it's like, no, we have to work together. And it's like, on this one particular task. And it's a difficult one, but it points out that there is a conflict there, you know?
There really is, and we see Rutherford falling out of love with the Cerritos. I love this little section, though, in Cetacean Ops, where you've got Kimolu and Matt, the dolphin. And Matt is trying to, like, sort out, like, plot navigational points to get to the center of the rift and avoid all these changes. And Mariner and Mok walk in, and they're trying to find them. And Mok finds out from the pad that Boimler has from the alternate reality that it was Mariner in the alternate reality that hid the Klingons. So Mok automatically assumes that Mariner has done this in this reality and demands to know where she is, and they start arguing and stuff like that. And whilst all this shit is kicking off, you've got Kumulu and Matt sat in the cetacean pool just going, "Those Klingons are hot." Matt goes, "Yeah, I noticed."
It's just fucking weird that it's like, have they got like gay dolphin, like, yeah, and it's just gay
Are they
dolphin
though?
engineers, and it's like,
Is it homosexual though?
in what way?
Is it bestiality?
Well, wouldn't it still be homosexual? Because
I
isn't like
don't
homosexual is
know.
based upon your sex,
It's very much
which
gender
is
fluid though, isn't
changes
it?
on species. Well, this is the whole thing. It's like going, is it can it be gay or straight or stuff like that if you are sleeping with a different race? Like, a different species.
I
So
would say
like Worf and
fluidic.
Jadzia, is that a straight relationship because they're different species?
I would say fluidic more than anything. I wouldn't even put a gender. I wouldn't even put like a staple on it.
Usually your
Love is love.
sexuality is determined by your sex and by your gender. N less about your gender, but more about your sex. But it's the idea of these races seem to agree on sex, where they go, hey, this is male, this is female. A lot, that seems to be a thing in Trek where most races go, hey, we have a male, we have a female, or something like that. So I don't know. I
It's,
wonder. But to be fair, we don't know whether these dolphins are male. Like, has it been clear?
Matt can
They
be a
could be
female name.
female. Who knows? Either way, it's the fact of like the cute thing is that these dolphins just fancy Mock. And
The
it's
Klingons are
great.
hot, I noticed.
Although I love the
Eventually.
idea of gay dolphins.
They'll fuck
Just
anything.
existing in Trek canon, because have you seen all the backlash online about the Bashir and Garak
I've
thing?
chose not to
Oh
because
my word.
if you
The internet is a
really
cesspool.
care that two fictional characters from a show that ended 24 years ago have got together on a cartoon, then you need to seek medical help immediately, because there is far more serious issues to get mad about. You have got, especially in America, you've got a tanned prune and a Just for Men spokesman running your country as of January, and you are going on about two fictional characters in an animated series getting together. One of them who is a hologram.
It's well, it's the fact of it exists in this like it's explained as the multiverse. Like it's like we said last week, it's the whole it's
When two actors of those characters both agree that they both should have got together on the show, you have got no leg at all to stand on. Get over it. We all wanted it. We don't care what you think. That's all I'm going to say. If you don't like it, my contact details are down below. Come at me, Broseph. Anyway, I'm sure I'm going to enjoy your profile picture of you and your ski glasses in a pickup truck. Come at me. So, we
It's just people will find something to be toxic about.
That's fine. I deal with it every day. So we get to the point where they're on the bridge, and essentially Rantum admits that he was the one that hid Malor because he knew that the message looked weird and he wanted to buy he wanted to buy Freeman some time and some plausible deniability in case he was wrong. And then they review the video again and then they see that it was actually Relga deep faking as Admiral Freeman to basically try and trick them. So it was a fake. But the Klingons catch up to them, and then what happens is the Ewes, the ensign who we saw in Of Gods and Angles, to basically disable the shield upgrades that they gave to Relga using her godlike powers, fires a bolt at the Klingon ship, disables the shields.
Ollie, wasn't it? Her name was Ollie, I think. Yeah.
Disables the shields, and Relga's just like, ah, that did nothing. And he's like, Captain, we've got no shields. We're exposed to the Soliton wave. The wave hits the ship, doesn't change the ship, but it changes the crew of the Klingon ship. And I love the fact that the Chihuahua Targ turns into an oyster or a clam.
Well, I love that all the Klingons devolve. They don't devolve. They transform into the proto-Klingons that we see in the Next Generation episode Genesis, where basically we get, like, we have Worf being this huge crab-like beast, which is like, you know, like it has chitin and stuff, like
crab,
chitin,
Klingons, crab,
yeah.
Klingons.
So I kind of love the idea of just going, wow, that's where like Klingons evolved from, and then this Targ just becomes a clam, and you're like, okay, cool, that's fine.
And they just devolve into absolute thoughtless chaos, and they end up destroying their own ship, falling into the well, and just blowing up. I love the fact that Rutherford comes to the solution that it is not him. It is not the Cerritos that is the problem. It is his own cybernetic implants that are causing the issue. I love that he just takes it off his head.
He just pulls it off with no consequences.
He just pulls it off and then just goes into absolute beast mode of an engineer and decides to reroute energy indirectly into the warp core until it's just like, we are essentially being fueled by... was it improbability?
Wait, that what is it he says? He says, like, they channel the rift's energy into the dilithium chamber to basically use its energy in order to power the ship, which is kind of crazy, I think. I think
Trek
it's
science.
Wibbly wobbly, but yeah,
wibbly
Trek
wobbly.
Science.
Wibbly wobbly. So, Selene confirms that they are fueled by improbability themselves. And as they get stable, they start to lose cohesion with themselves within the quad. There's a lot of science that happens within the next few minutes.
Yeah, but basically, essentially, the ship splits into two versions of the ship, which is two quantum possibilities.
Yeah.
But then it very quickly remedies itself.
Science, like, besties!
Where basically Tendi and Talin basically go, they decide they need to work together across both ships, and then they actually manage to do... bring it together. Yeah, Beth, it's all wibbly wobbly timey
wimey. Wibbly wobbly sidesy timey wimey stuff.
Yeah.
That.
But yeah, they managed to bring the ships together. So it's one of these things where it's just such a, hey, there's a problem. Oh, it's fixed. And you're like going, really? That was yeah.
Well, fixed until a point where they're firing the gluonic beam into the rift and it is not really working properly until Mariner saves the day.
Which is odd, but we have seen in a different reality where she is actually really good at engineering.
So Mariner saves the day, modifies the beam, the gluonic beam, and is able to fully stabilize the rift, and it becomes a gateway to quantum realities. It becomes a quantum Stargate, if you will,
for
Star Trek.
Which is really strange, because obviously they mention that this rift exists in every... Well, didn't it originally, before they moved it to this one reality, they basically like said, hey, this exists everywhere in the same place in every single like reality. Is that what this is now? So they basically created this new stable rift, but that exists in the same place in every sort of version of the galaxy. So it's a bit like the Bajoran wormhole, kind of, where it's basically like, hey, it's stable, it's a thing. And I like this. It's a bit sort of, like we're saying, wibbly-wobbly.
It opens
but it's the
possibilities.
Fact of, yeah, it basically goes, hey, Lower Decks' legacy is this now exists in Trek canon, and there's loads of stuff that you can do with it.
Yeah, I absolutely love this. And it does, it opens up a lot of possibilities for future TNG episodes, because this is 2382. So this is like prime TNG, Prodigy, Picard.
Yeah.
You know, things that they can follow into. And I love that they need an old station that is not affected by the tachyons that are emitted by it. So they move Starbase 80 the station.
They need old technology. So basically, what do they have? Starbase 80, where everything is old and falling apart. So they weren't going, okay, you'll survive next to the rift without getting changed.
I love that we see both the Enterprise E and the Titan in this scene as well. We don't actually get guests. And I am wondering if this was going to go in a different direction and there was going to be a season 6, if we were going to get those special guests.
Maybe, if we but were going we have to see had a Captain few Wolf. Of them already, you know?
We have
had a fair few next-gen like cameos, which has been cool.
We have, and I was wondering if we were going to see that, if we were actually going to see Patrick Stewart in Lower Decks, that would have been hilarious. Or Captain Worf. I would have just wanted to see Captain Worf. But we find out that the Starbase needs new commanding officers, and it has been given to both Captain Freeman and Admiral Freeman. Because as we know, Captain and Admiral Freeman, they are both separated. Admiral Freeman works on Earth, and you know, Captain Freeman is Captain of the Cerritos, so they never get time together. They very rarely get that time together until, you know, this is what we saw the week before last. So we see that, you know, they very rarely get time together. And we see that they both move to Starbase 80. And again, it's a very touching DS9 reference where you see a rundown old station and you see a captain and their family moving in to basically take over and command the exploration of different quantum realities.
Which is effectively like how Lower Decks ends, where it kind of goes, hey, so Captain Freeman and Admiral Freeman have now moved onto Starbase 80 to look out over the rift, like the same way that like the Siskos look after the Bajoran wormhole from DS9. Yeah. And then the actual Cerritos, all of our Lower Decks main characters are now bridge crew. So Boimler, Rutherford, Tendi, Talin, Mariner, they're all bridge crew now. Like, or at least, you know, the higher offices, along with like Shax and Tiana and stuff. So it's,
but we see
and
who
then
gets promoted.
We find out who gets promoted into the captaincy, which is, of course,
Ransom. Jerry O'Connell himself becomes captain of the Cerritos. I like this. I like this move. This is a good move. And I love his I love his call sign to engage warp as well.
It's terrible, man.
Engage the core.
It's just terrible. But typical Jim reference from him, I think.
Yeah.
But it is, because he declares that both Boimler and Mariner are going to be his first officer. They're going to be joint provisionary first officers.
Yeah,
And obviously they're going, hey, that'll just cause massive rivalry between us. And he's like, yep, that'll be fun. And I might promote one of you one day. And it's, but what we get before this, before it's revealed, like who the bridge crew are going to be, we kind of get these, two lovely scenes where basically they're in 10 forward, well, the bar effectively, and Rutherford has taken off all of his cybernetics. He's taken off all of his cybernetics, and he's literally just fully human again. And Tendi sort of points out that he's really attractive with it. And then he starts blushing because he doesn't have a dopamine inhibitor anymore. And then it kind of becomes very obvious how he feels about Tendi. And there's like a shared moment, I think, which basically goes, hey, we might not be able to show it, but that's exactly where this is going to go between the two of them, which has been teased for a long time. Probably would have done it, you know, properly with more show seasons, but we might get them. So... But then we have them asking Mariner why she's okay with the fact her mum is just leaving. Her mum and dad are now on Starbase 80 and she's continuing on without her. And she just kind of points out like, hey, look, we can do all this stuff. And we go into this big montage showing all of the different aspects of the crew that we've seen over the show and stuff. Like we see, Beta Squad and Delta Squad.
Beta Shift, Delta Shift.
Yeah, there we go. We get to see the dolphins again, and we've got the gay sort of medical officer swimming with the dolphins, which suggests that it plays into the whole maybe there's a big gay
maybe
party with the dolphins.
I kind of want to join.
But you know, it's quite good. We see people having a twain off on the holodeck, and we have more people coming in dressed like Samuel Clemens or Mark Twain.
This is the tiniest of tangents, but I am so disappointed this year at STLV.
Yeah,
there was not enough twains.
There were some.
There were some, but we never. I wanted to film a twain off. Can you imagine that?
Hey,
that
would have been, it just means it's up to you, Goodwill. I think next year.
I need to work harder, get us both back to Vegas, and just so we can just sit in the vendor area, just like, I do declare.
Wait, all my love.
I do declare. I may be a little drunk. I don't care. But,
But no, I think it's really good. We see that and whatnot. We get to see one of the best little nods, I think, because it hasn't been referred to properly except in a particular episode. But we get to see a group of female officers sitting around having a pajama party with the haunted candle in on the table, which suggests
an anaphasic candle in a room full of women.
Yeah, and you just kind of go like, okay, is this like some kind of sexy seance expected? Is this some... There's something going on there. There's a lot you can read into the possibilities of that. But yeah, good old... a room of candle slaggery.
Candle slag! Candle slag!
It is quite good though, because Mariner does this whole monologue talking about how the crew is amazing, they can weather anything that like they come across and stuff, so there's no need for her to be worried or panicked or whatever. And then she just goes, I did get mad and set my bed on fire. Oh, and I kicked a computer, but I'm fine now. And it's like, and they're like, is your bed still on fire? And she's like, yes. So she just, literally there's just this blazing fire in one of the quarters on the ship.
It's fine. Sprinkler system. But yeah,
and that's it. Yeah.
It ends. That is it. And I mean, the only question I have for you is, where would you like this to go? Would you like a movie, or would you like another platform to pick up the series?
Yeah, I would basically start a new series, but called something else, where it's no longer Lower Decks, because none of them are Lower Deckers. It would basically just be called something else, like Upper Deckers, I don't know. But, you know, you'd call it something else, and it would basically be about them traveling through different possibilities or something. I don't know, like, I don't think you could explore the new quantum reality thing properly, because all it would be is fan service constantly.
I have a theory. Tawny Newsome, Beckett Mariner, is a hardcore Star Trek fan, major Star Trek fan, and she is heading up a new live action Star Trek series. Live action comedy Star Trek series.
Yeah.
My theory, and this is very loosey-goosey, and this is probably never, ever going to happen. My theory is the sheer amazing feedback that they got from those old scientists. There is an insatiable demand, very much like Legacy. There is an insatiable demand for more live action Boimler and Mariner.
Yeah, definitely. I would really, really enjoy another cameo from them.
And I think it is the adventures of Boimler and Mariner exploring quantum realities.
Yeah.
Or it is a live action Lower Decks and it's called Star Trek Bridge Crew.
Yeah, there's so much stuff that I think you could do with it, you know?
Yeah, there is so much. I don't want it to end, and I don't want it to end in its current form. I think the animated way of doing it is perfect. It leaves a lot of opportunities to bring back older characters in the time period that this is set in. It is just a love letter, and has been since 2020. It is a love letter to Star Trek The Next Generation, primarily, and DS9 and Voyager. And no one wanted to end. Everyone was blindsided when this happened. And it's kind of worrying in a way, the decisions Paramount are making with one of its greatest franchises of all time.
But you can tell that they just have a terrible, terrible way of doing anything, because, like, did you see that the Moopsie finally came out? They're finally doing Moopsie plushes, and you're like, that's like 2 years too late, you know? Like,
that took them a year and a half to
You're just like, whoa, Badgie, you need to be fresher with this.
Badgie has only just come out.
Yeah.
And it's like they just updated the store, the actual Paramount Star Trek store, and it's the end of 2024, and they are just now selling the Picard jackets on there. And it's like, yeah, but we all bought them like a year ago.
From other companies. Yeah, you have missed. It's very much what happens at Games Workshop, where they're going, hey, we've released rules which require the following models, but we're not going to release those models for a couple of years. And then it immediately means every other third-party company just goes like, we'll make those models then. And then everyone's got them. And then Games Workshop's like, hey, we finally released them 3 years too late. And
it's
they cost 50 quid more than the other guys. And you're like, why? What kind of model is this? You know,
it is absolutely batshit crazy. But
Paramount just do not enjoy success. I think is the lesson we've learned from recent Trek. The people who are making things like Lower Decks, the people who are making things like, well, season 3 of Picard, you know, Strange New Worlds. These are people who love Trek and can do a great job with it. And Paramount just seems to be like, hey, let's just put some more hurdles in your way and let's try and trip you up as much as possible, you know?
They seem to just hate money. And they seem to just hate success. And it will forever perplex me. But let's not put a downer on this, because this is a celebration of Lower Decks and the five seasons that we have had.
You know what, though? I will put a downer on this, because the thing I've got to say about this episode, I didn't like it. I actually thought this was an incredibly lazy episode and really bad way to go out, I think. In terms of, if it was that they'd learned that they were, you know, it was getting cancelled, they had to wrap it up kind of thing, maybe. But I, like, there's loads of plot things in here that just didn't exist before, and they get wrapped up way too quickly. Like the whole science besties, where you just like, hey, we haven't really seen any hint of that rivalry. Like, that could have been handled better in previous... What we've seen the whole series of, hey, here's some episodes with, like, some filler in them, with one main thing that comes out of it, but plenty of space to foreshadow more events that just didn't. And then, like, and the Rutherford thing, that was my least favourite thing of the whole episode, because the Rutherford plot... came from nowhere. There was no hint previously that he didn't enjoy working on the ship anymore, or that his cybernetics were sort of interfering with things. And then it happens at the beginning of the episode, then gets a couple of like lines from him saying, hey, it doesn't work. And then he takes it out. And I'm like, when was it established in a whole 9 episodes? You could have put stuff in about how he wasn't sure about his cybernetics, or he wasn't sure about whether he wanted to go in that direction.
Do you
And I don't think
think,
it did it as well as it could.
do you think, and this is another theory, but do you think that the more or less had 9 episodes in the bag, and they were working on the final episode, and then Paramount dropped the ball? So then they've sort of had to shoehorn things into this episode to sort of try and create these issues.
I think they painted themselves into a corner with like the story that they were telling, and then if they had got forewarning that it was kind of, oh, the season is ending, they went, oh, well, we've got to resolve these. But the reality is they didn't. Like, if nothing had been mentioned about sort of, meeting other dimension Rutherford, where who is like full cyborg kind of thing, and being like, oh, I don't want to be like that. If they didn't want to foreshadow it more in the previous episodes, then they could have just left it and we wouldn't really have cared. The same way that there didn't need to be conflict between like Tilin and Tendi. It's like, yeah, that wasn't, we could have done without that. We could have just shown them working together really, really well in this episode. And there's just loads of little things where it just went like, that was something that didn't need clearing up, but you obviously felt it did, but you could have done it in the previous episode. Or yeah, and it just felt very much for me that it was like, not, it wasn't an amazing climax. It was like, for you it was probably amazing because we got loads of ship porn and stuff, but for me I was a bit like, oh, that does feel a bit like a, oh, they just fixed the thing, right, great,
It was, for me, it was bittersweet. Chip on, yeah, whatever. But for me, I felt, as I've just said, that it was rushed because they were cancelled and they didn't want to just leave it as, oh, we've resolved this, okay, bye. They wanted to try and wrap it up, but also leave it open-ended. Like you said, I love Lower Decks, but this felt very much like they found out that they were cancelled or not getting renewed when episode 9 was wrapped and done. Now, anyone who knows animation or anything like that, it's not a quick turnaround. And shows like this are done 18 months in advance. You look at, people go on about, oh, Family Guy, yeah, it's lost its charm because it does all these references. And it's like, yeah, because these are done 18 months before you actually see it, because there's a lot of things that go in to making an animated show. And you have to give, the producers of Lower Decks, they did 10 episodes every season for 4 years. And they were absolute stellar. They were absolute bangers. And they probably found out halfway through last year, look, you are not gonna get another season. But then they've had to go, well, Paramount will not fund us to go back and change that. Very much, if you look at the finale of Star Trek Discovery, it was slightly longer than the episodes because, again, they weren't given extra episodes to wrap stuff up, and they couldn't sort of go back and reshoot and implant stuff in. So what they had to do was extend it. And again, that's the same thing where they've had to shoehorn in stuff
It's
to
fine.
sort of tie it up.
I would like to have, I'd like to believe that it's like it was only met sloppy because they like went, oh, we've got to wrap all of it up. Okay, cool. Well, we have less sort of time because we can't have a 30-minute episode. It has to be like a 22-minute or whatever it is. But it's still the idea of going, the arc of the series was like, wow, you squandered a lot of time. Like, you squandered a lot of time that you could have been doing this development with stuff, development stuff with, especially in the middle episodes, where we
It's
were just
also
going, this
sad,
is great, but like this time could have been used to sort of foreshadow or do more stuff with it. And then they end up with a last episode where you're just going, okay, that, why are you clearing that up? Like,
It's
because
very sad,
I don't think any of the things that it cleared up is stuff that it would have been continuing to another series anyway. Like the Rutherford thing, the Tendi and maybe like the Tendi and Talin sort of not working that well together could have been continued to the next series. But it's, I at the same time I just go, but you didn't need to foreshadow it now. Like you could have just
it's
left
far
it and said,
too
hey,
late
actually
to
they just get on.
Yeah.
And that's my problem with it. It's the fact of it's probably a mix of both things. It's a mix of the a bit lazy this with the writing in this way, and also, oh shit, now we have to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Cool, let's just, you know, like, because you've seen it before with shows that get cancelled where they go, oh, but we really wanted to have this plot, and then they kind of throw, like, you know, Next Generation, they knew the last season was the last season, but then they still went, oh, but we haven't done the bloody, the Masks episode, oh, but we haven't done Candleslag yet, oh, well, we have to do them now, and you're like, but it doesn't really fit where it is. No, we're going to do it anyway. You know,
there's a lot to be said, because we have had this year, over the last 2 years, we've had finale of Picard, finale of Prodigy, finale of Discovery, and the finale of Lower Decks. And we know that there is stuff in the pipeline. There is stuff that we are really excited about. And then there is stuff where we're just like, why? I think this is a misstep for Paramount to do this.
Definitely to get rid of it, you know.
To just get rid of it. Even if they farm it out to other streaming services, I am highly confident that, you know, Titmouse would be able to find a streaming service that could pick this up. But for one last time in 2024, have you got any more notes for this episode?
I don't think I do. I think I've ranted about the stuff I wanted to rant about, because it's the fact of, like with anything, I give criticism because I enjoy it. Like, it's one of those things of going, hey, yeah, it's the idea of going, hey, I love this so much, and that's why this pains me, this bit kind of thing, rather than, oh, I just want to be negative. But, you know, I have nothing. I mean, I like what it does with the universe, that they've now got this rift that can open up all these new stories, all these new possibilities, and does what we wanted Lower Decks to be. Because, like, Lower Decks kind of appeared as, like, oh, all it's going to do is just make silly jokes and reference, like, the wider Trek universe, but then not actually influence it at all, where it was going to be, like, self-contained as, like, a little sort of reference kind of show. And then we go, wow, okay, it's actually influenced Strange New Worlds. And, oh, wow, we've now got it being referenced in, like, other Trek media. And now we're kind of going, whoa, this could literally be, if they do the sensible thing and they bring out, like, a new series of Trek, like, you know, set in the same timeline as Picard and everything like that, you know, a continuation of, like, you know, the Golden Age, then they go, hey, there's now this rift thing that exists there. And that's purely because of this weird, you know, comedy cartoon show, you know?
Do you think, there's two things. One, do you think Ransom and the Cerritos, or maybe not the Cerritos, but Ransom would be in the show that explores these quantum realities, and this would be the greatest reference to Sliders ever conceived.
Laughing at it's very much Quantum Leap.
It is.
You know, where it's,
well,
like,
it's Quantum Leap, but it's Sliders.
And Sliders, yeah.
It's absolutely Sliders. And also, oh my God, it has just left my head. There was two things. Shit. Yes, that's it. Do you think the introduction of this quantum gateway, we will see more references to the Kelvin universe?
I think what it is, I don't think we will, because I have a feeling that they're wanting to forget it. I think they're kind of wanting to forget the Kelvin universe and be like, okay, that was an experiment. It, like, the movies did well, they made money, but it wasn't really accepted. But I like that they found a way to tie it in. Like, this episode basically just goes, hey, we can have the old Discovery, that was a different dimension, therefore we don't need to worry about how it fits into sort of our typical canon, because It really can't. You can't go, hey, why are we not doing Spore Drive? Like, that's way better. Okay, never mind. You know, like, all those kind of things, which are big questions that we don't really want because they weren't really considering the bigger picture with it. But it allows us to go like, hey, that's how you explain that. That's those Klingons are from over there. And oh, the Kelvin stuff. Oh, that happened over there. You know, like, I think what it does is it basically allows them a way to explain a lot of stuff. But I don't know if they'll lean into it. I don't know if they'll be like, oh, now we can have, you know, Chris Pine like appearing in Strange New Worlds as like an, you know, alternate dimension Pike. Well, we can't because of the
timeline.
We can't. But it's you know, that kind of thing where you just go like, oh, look, we've got this. I don't know.
We will have to see. The future is not yet written, so we will have to see. But guys, that has been our review of the new Next Generation, and that has been our complete review of the final season of Star Trek Lower Decks. And this is also our final episode of Trekking Up North for 2024. It has been an absolute pleasure and an honour to work with Science Officer Sanois this year. It has been
and
crazy.
Likewise.
It has been crazy. It has been exhausting. He made me cry on my birthday last Wednesday.
That's because I kicked you in the balls.
You did, and it was pleasurable. But he sent me a very touching message, and it made me well up a little bit. I very rarely, I never celebrate my birthdays, but this year I was selfish, and it was one of the most lovely messages.
Enjoying yourself and do it, pampering yourself is not selfish. It's the fact of the reality of it is you need to take care of yourself so that you can then take better care of the people around you. It's the fact of if you're not enjoying things, if you're constantly going, I'll just have a salad today, you know, and that kind of like detrimental kind of mindset, then you're not going to be the best person to other people, you know? So it's think of it that way. It's not selfish to enjoy yourself and treat yourself, you know?
Yeah.
But
so,
and yeah, I got a post on my Instagram about just how wonderful you are and just how wonderful it is working with you. It's like this idea of, you know, because obviously I work with a lot of people and it's very rare that you get a totally trusting dynamic. There's always arguments. There's always kind of, hey, I think we should do it this way. Oh, well, we shouldn't. We should do it this way. And then it's like, oh, why are you attacking me? And it's like, I'm not. I'm just saying this is,
but even like,
and it becomes like personalities, and the dynamic that we have together is literally very much like Star Trek. It's very much like the crew, like what we were saying about the Enterprise, where it's the fact of if you come to me with an idea, I'm going to be like, oh, you're only suggesting this because this means something to you. I'm going to take that on board when I consider whether we should do this. And then vice versa, where if I come up with an idea, you're like, okay, that's not too difficult to do, and that can kind of tie in with everything else. Rather
very
than
symbiotic.
Being, oh, but whose idea is it? Oh, well, because it's them, we're not going to take it on board. Or, oh, well, actually,
it's very symbiotic the way we do stuff. I produce and deal with the technical aspect and the aesthetic side, and Paul very gracefully,
you do all the work. You do all the work. I turn up.
Paul very graciously does the banner every week, which I am grateful for. I do the promotions very badly, but I you know, the design and how it sounds and the segments and everything like that. And what's brilliant is I will go to Sanois and say, hey, 2025, I'm going to redesign it. I'm going to look like this. And he's like, great. And then he'll come to me with ideas. And I'm like, that is absolutely fantastic, because we just bounce off each other.
I threw so many at you the other day.
And they are absolutely tremendous. So what you guys can look forward to in 2025 is a brand new look. It'll look very different, shall we say.
I'm going to miss this old thing. Hold on.
It will
just
look,
licking the ship before we take it apart.
It will look very different. There will be new individual intros for every series that we do. So it's very hard. So,
I love that I totally could be privy to all of this information. I just don't care enough.
I've only scribbled it on a piece of tissue in the toilet so far, so it's fine. But very much like the flux capacitor. But it is the first episode in 2025 will be the review of the Section 31 movie starring Michelle Yeoh. There are things in motion for that I don't really want to say. But, yeah.
How are you feeling about it, by the way? Because I watched the trailer the other day and I was a bit like, oh, look, there's lots of action. That's just what I don't want. I'm
open-minded.
Yeah.
However,
I'm trying to be open-minded, but I am kind of okay.
I'm open-minded, yeah. And we know our good friend David is in it, and he can't say a word. But I am open-minded, and I will judge it when I see it. I'm not going to go in with I can't be chewed watching this. You know, very much the Discovery syndrome that a lot of people had, where it's just like, oh, Discovery's on this week. Like,
I think it's that thing though. It's what everyone needs to do is look at something and give it another chance. And it's
very,
this idea
very much
of
like Rimmer, give Keisha a chance.
But it's that thing, it's like, we've got to admit, like, whatever your feelings on Star Trek Discovery, Michelle Yeoh was an absolute highlight of it.
She was a powerhouse.
Like, you know, Michelle Yeoh as, Philippa Barbeau, isn't it?
Jojo,
sorry, yeah. Oh, no, I'm thinking of Barbeau, who is going to play Janeway, sorry. Yeah. But it's that idea of just going, she is one of the absolute highlights of it. So effectively, a TV movie, like, with her as the main character, you're just like, okay, I'm on board for this, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And so I'm gonna give it a lot of credence for that, and I think we all as fans need to be like, hey, let's give it a go. If it's not very good, fair enough, but don't let your, you know, go in, I'm gonna go in with sort of low expectations so that hopefully they're massively shot out of the park and it's like a lot better. Because I actually went, I posted on Nerdy Up North, like I went to go and see Kraven the Hunter the other day. And I went in with the lowest expectations possible, being like, this will be absolute garbage. And it was actually very good. I actually liked it. It wasn't a brilliant movie, like it had gaping flaws in it, but it was just like, yeah, that was way better than what I expected it to be. So well done. That was enjoyable.
Opinions are subjective. Reviews are subjective. And you may disagree with both me and Sinoise. Me and Sinoise have definitely got differing opinions on different episodes. We both respect our opinions and we come at them with, you know, with evidence to why we support our determination. But you need to view these things for yourself. What most people might hate, you might really enjoy. So you can't take critical opinions seriously. Just take them with a pinch of salt. Go in, and then, in fact, don't even read any reviews on certain things. Just go in, enjoy it, and then you might come out and go, that was absolutely amazing, and see that it was absolutely slated. Like I think
it's better, like, because what I did is I went to go and see Kraven the Hunter with, like, without looking at anything. I just kind of went in being like, okay, I roughly know the comic book character, watch that. And then afterwards I watched all the YouTube reviews where they were sort of going, oh, it's rubbish because of this, and they were panning it, and I was like, haha, fuck you, you know, I don't agree with any of that. And like, and it was just kind of it was interesting doing it that way rather than looking at reviews first and then going, oh, well, I won't bother then, based purely upon the the opinion of someone on the internet.
The famous disagreement is that me and Donna both love Orgasmo and Paul and Sammy do not. And they see it from a critical standpoint where it's like, oh, it's outdated, it's not aged well, it's very poorly written, blah blah blah. And then me and Donna are going, it's funny, it's a switch off movie, and it came out at a time where there was this type of thing going on. So
context is everything.
Yeah.
And it's the fact of, if you're going to go to a superhero movie and judge it like it's a drama, or if you're going to go to something like Orgasmo, which is just a puerile comedy, effectively, and then you're going to judge it... and then judge it as though it's got to be like, you know, as a Kevin Smith movie or something. You're going to be like, yeah, that's not going to work. That's, you know, you're going to be disappointed. Whereas if you just go, hey, this is going to be stupid, daft humor, you're going to enjoy it. And it's the same with Trek, where it's the idea of going, hey, if you want cerebral, science-heavy sort of Trek, you're not going to like this, but you're going to like this. And that's the thing. It's like with the Kelvin universe, where I'm just like, hey, cool, I don't like action. I don't really like... I think the space battles and Tears of the Prophets are about the maximum Trek sort of action I can get.
There is something like, for everyone in Star Trek. You might like one thing, but you won't like the other.
Yeah, and that's it. But you just go, that's cool. Well, you enjoy that type of Trek, and I will enjoy that kind of Trek because I'm not looking for action. But if I'm going to judge normal Trek because it doesn't have action, or if I'm going to judge Discovery and be like, why aren't they explaining the science? Why is there no character relationships that like are more than like a sentence? Yeah. And then when you realize, oh, actually, this just isn't for me, and I should just stop complaining about it, then you go, yeah, cool. We're all a lot happier, I think.
I think it's time to wrap it up, don't you? Thank you so much to everyone who has joined us on the live chat tonight. David, Beth, Paul, someone called Sanoi's the weirdo. Thank you to everyone who is watching this back on the record. Thank you for everyone who is watching the listening to the audio version of this wherever you get a podcast.
I hope they're watching it and they're like, it hasn't changed.
It hasn't
been
moved.
Like 2 hours. It hasn't
just
even
a logo. We absolutely love each and every one of you. We are grateful for you to be here. We wouldn't do this if it wasn't for you guys. It has been an honor, and long may it continue. Are you going to be on Twitch anytime soon?
I was going to be tonight, and I can't. I'm done. I've had a very tiring day. I've been on a lot of trains, a lot of metros today. So I'm not gonna stream today. The problem is, basically, one of my lovely subscribers on Twitch, basically, they collected the reward that is like, it's like something like 10,000 like tokens or something that you can spend, and then they get to pick what game I play. And they picked one. I'm like, oh, I need to do this, but I think I need far more celebration, far more sort of like, you know, like, oh, we're going to make a big deal out of it. I'm playing this game that someone's asked me to do, and we'll like sort of advertise it and stuff like that. And I just haven't, and I don't want to do it. I just start playing it today, and then they're not on because they didn't see that I was doing it.
I'm very much the same at the moment.
Yeah, that's it. I'm not going to be doing it, but I might try and do it Sunday night, maybe. Maybe Monday. We'll work it out.
Tuesday. It is the cousin... Truckwill screaming, streaming Christmas spectacular.
Christmas where, Eve.
Christmas Truckwill. Spectacular, where we may get a visit from cousin Santa Truck.
Santa Truck.
Cousin Santa Truckwill.
You've got a whole marketing team coming out with this.
I do. I am vastly overpaying them. So that is this Tuesday coming up on the Captain Goodwill Twitch channel. Other than that, myself and the wonderful Mike Overton from the Clone Star podcast will be recording an episode of The Dry Dock, where we will be reviewing the latest model in the Fan Home collection. So look out for that on Clone Star. Links are all in the description below. The links for the Velvet Snatch and Sanoi's are all down in the description below. We've got the Girl podcast, we've got the Velvet Snatch, and we have got Sanoi's Twitch channel. We have got every single Nerdy Up North social media down below. I urge you to also look for the Top Grumps TikTok channel. It is incredibly
ludicrous.
Unhinged. It is ludicrous, but they are so funny. Also, then,
after Christmas, Adam Ashbridge music.
Please
climb up on him.
Go on.
He's no Adam Ashbridge. We came close to blows the other day. Not the sort of blow I'd like to lay upon him.
We came and blow in the same sentence.
That's it. Well, yeah. If he wants to come and blow, we'll work it out. But it's about the fact of he's just like, oh, I'm just casually wearing grey sweatpants, and I'm just like, you have literally moistened an entire room full of MILFs. Like, I was just going over this, and he's like, oh, I'm just casually wearing like grey sweatpants, and I'm just like, you cruel bastard. It's like when you're not available, why would you do that to those poor women and gay men?
Storm Dara was not a natural phenomenon. Adam decided to wear grey sweatpants and play guitar, and then suddenly the south of England was underwater.
The MILFs he gets on TikTok. It's like he was saying that most of his comments are literally thirsty MILFs on TikTok. And he's like, I'm just playing guitar.
I get nothing.
It's like, yeah, yes, you are.
But, I get nothing. Nothing.
Try grey sweatpants. Go ahead.
I'm going to have to. I might have to put a sock down there. Hang on. I might stuff my Enterprise D socks down there. And with the D, right. With the D. D for D. But Galaxy class, ladies. But...
And also, please take note of this. We have the last Nerdy Up North live quiz of the year at Geek Retreat in Sunderland on the 28th.
28th! So
if you would join us, it is the Saturday after... tomorrow. So the 28th, Saturday at Geek Retreat in Sunderland.
A week tomorrow.
Come along. I'm going to be dressed like a fairy. We have cult leader Paul as our special guest. He sent me the questions for his special round, and it's absolutely amazing. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to be raising money for St. Benedict's Hospice, which is a cause that is incredibly close to my heart. Oh, actually, I finally went in yesterday to Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen to basically give them the money that we raised for them in November. And so they are very happy. They have 200 quid to buy Christmas dinners and food and supplies to get people through the Christmas season.
God bless them.
Which is, very, very noble cause.
Very noble. A huge, huge success the quizzes have been this year. And they've been so much fun. And I enjoy so much getting teapots.
There will also be a teapot auction.
No!
Can fill out his collection.
No. Right. This has been Trekking Up North. He has been Science Officer Sonoise. I have been Captain Goodall of the USS Adequate. And as of now, I'm off duty. I'm going to go stuff my face full of Quality Street, and I am going to enjoy the holidays. I want everyone who is listening, everyone who is watching, I want you to all have a wonderful Christmas or whatever you celebrate. Be with family. I want you to stay safe. We will see you in the new year. And as ever, live long and prosper. Take care of yourself and Miles.
Have a happy new year. Miles!
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 The space Where's begins. The outro? There it is. Miles! Miles!
Miles!
Keiko!